हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। जयो राधा वृंदावन विहारी, राधा वृंदावन विहारी राधे। जय राधा मदन मोहन ललिता देवी, राधा मदन मोहन ललिता देवी। जय गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन, गिरि गोवर्धन जय गिरि गोवर्धन। जयो जयो प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय जय प्रभुपाद। जायो जायो गुरुदेव गुरुदेव गुरुदेव, जय जय गुरुदेव। निथाय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल, हरि बोल निथाय गौर हरि बोल। कलियुग पावन श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया, भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 28 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड पुरंजन बिकम्स अ वुमन इन द नेक्स्ट लाइफ वर्स नंबर 43। पतिं परम धर्मज्ञं वैदर्भीमलयध्वजं प्रेम्णा परियचरधीत्वा भोगान् सापति देवता। पतिं परम धर्मज्ञं वैदर्भीमलयध्वजं प्रेम्णा परियचरधीत्वा भोगान् सापति देवता। पतिं परम धर्मज्ञं वैदर्भीमलयध्वजं प्रेम्णा परियचरधीत्वा भोगान् सापति देवता। पतिं परम धर्मज्ञं पतिं परम धर्मज्ञं पतिं परम धर्मज्ञं प्रेम्णा परियचरधीत्वा भोगान् सापति देवता। माताजीस् पतिं परम धर्मज्ञं वैदर्भि प्रेम्णा परियचरधीत्वा भोगान् सापति दे वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग पतिम हर हस्बैंड परम सुप्रीम धर्मज्ञम नोयर ऑफ रिलीजियस प्रिंसिपल्स वैदर्भी द डॉटर ऑफ विदर्भा मलयध्वजम नेम्ड मलयध्वजा प्रेमना विथ लव एंड अफेक्शन परियचरत served in devotion, hitva, giving up, bhogan, sense enjoyments, sa, she, pati devata, accepting her husband as the supreme lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Bhai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, the daughter of King Vidarbha accepted her husband all in all as the supreme. She gave up all sensual enjoyment and in complete renunciation followed the principles of her husband who was so advanced. Thus she remained engaged in his service. Purport. Figuratively, King Malayadhwaja is the spiritual master and his wife Vaidarbhi is the disciple. The disciple accepts the spiritual master as the supreme personality of Godhead. As stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Guru Ashtakam, Sakshat Dharitvena. One directly accepts the Guru, the spiritual master, as the supreme personality of Godhead. One should accept the spiritual master not in the sense that the Mayavadi philosophers do, but in the way recommended here, since the spiritual master is the most confidential servant of the Lord, he should be treated exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual master should never be neglected or disobeyed like an ordinary person. If a woman is fortunate enough to be the wife of a pure devotee, she can serve her husband without any desires for sense gratification. If she remains engaged in the service of her exalted husband, she will automatically attain the spiritual perfections of her husband. If a disciple gets a bona fide spiritual master, simply by satisfying him, he can attain a similar opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanostute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are discussing this chapter. Puranjan becomes a woman in the next life. So this story of King Puranjan has been going on since many chapters. We have seen how Narada Muni, after having delivered Dhruva Maharaj and many kings in this lineage, Narada Muni, when he is seeing King Prachina Bharishad engaged in performing all kinds of karma kanda rituals, so Narada Muni starts feeling that he belongs to the such great lineage, hailing from Dhruva Maharaj and all other great kings. So why should he be engaging in fruitive activities? So Narada Muni, taking extreme compassion upon this King Prachina Bharishad. So Narada Muni has different ways of preaching and delivering different kinds of people. So depending upon the time, place, circumstances, whatever is needed to impart the right medicine, that is the expertise of a preacher, seeing the particular situation. So for Narada Muni, when he met Mrigari, he directly showed him the entire thing, that this is what will happen. All these animals whom you have killed, they are all coming and trying to kill you. So that way he transformed the heart of Mrigari. So in this case here, Narada Muni felt, because many times to directly tell someone what you are doing is wrong, it's very painful for the ego to accept. So in this case, Narada Muni thought of telling him his own story, but through a different name. So he took this name of King Puranjan and exactly told him the story of Prachini Bharishad, but he was not directly attacking the ego. So since many 3-4 chapters we are seeing how Narada Muni has been telling this allegorical story of King Puranjan and how this King Puranjan is leading a totally materialistic life, engaged in all kinds of materialistic activities, and the whole episode is telling, and towards the beginning of this chapter is telling how this Puranjan, King Puranjan, because he has been leading a materialistic life, all he was attached to was his house. He was attached to his wife. He was attached to his children. So naturally, as Bhagavad Gita tells, Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samad bhavam yati nasti atra samshaya. So whatever state of being a person thinks, while he is quitting this body, in the next life he will attain that same thing. So this King Puranjan, he thinks of his wife, woman in the next life. So naturally, in the next life, he takes birth of a woman. Like Bharat Maharaj, through Bharat Maharaj we learned how during departing his body, he was thinking of the deer. So as per the law, in the next life, he took the body of the deer. So in the same way, here also, through this allegory, Narad Muni is explaining this principle of how whatever a person thinks, their next life will be based on that. So Puranjan, he thinks of the woman and he becomes a woman in this lifetime. So again, but the fortune begins to rise in the life of this Puranjan. So now Puranjan has become the daughter of king of Vidarbha. So he is known as Vaidarbhi. And this Vaidarbhi is meeting the husband. So this queen is getting married to Malayadhwaja. So Vaidarbhi and Malayadhwaja, both of them, they get married. So here Narad Muni is explaining how after going through this material world, the fortune in the life of the jiva arises when he meets the spiritual master. So here Puranjan is the Vaidarbhi, the jiva, who is entangled in this material world, and he meeting King Malayadhwaja is the jiva meeting the spiritual master. As in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he explained that Brahmande Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beach. So living entity has been wandering in this material existence since time immemorial. Since millions and millions of lifetime, he has been suffering without knowing why he has been suffering, what is the purpose. But out of great good fortune, after millions of lifetime suffering, he is able to meet, by the mercy of the Lord, a bona fide spiritual master. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, he gets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here, our King Puranjan, after getting this body of Princess Vaidarbhi, he is meeting the spiritual master, his husband, her husband, Malayadhwaja. So that's how here we are seeing how, in this section it is explained, how this Malayadhwaja is a pure devotee of the Lord, the spiritual master, and the pure devotee of the Lord, he is performing austerities. He has become enlightened. So the husband or the spiritual master is now departing, and this wife or King Vaidarbhi, she is personally serving the spiritual master, and she is getting all the blessings of the spiritual master from the King Malayadhwaja. So here in this section, 43rd, 44th, 45th and 46th verse, the entire theme which is explained throughout the translation, and Prabhupada is emphasizing that how the disciple serves the spiritual master very faithfully, and by serving the spiritual master, he receives unlimited blessings, thereby perfecting his life. So that's how in this section, the 4-5 verses, that is the constant theme that Prabhupada has been highlighting. He is also quoting Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Sakshadharitvena Samasta Shastrer Uktasthata Bhav Etayeva Shadbi. That spiritual master is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado Yasya Prasadat Nagati Kutopi. So in the spiritual life, the important principle that we repeatedly learn is when one pleases the spiritual master by following his instructions, that brings success in the life of the disciple. And if the spiritual master is not pleased, then the disciple cannot progress. So that is the theme. So, and Prabhupada is also quoting that many times the husband may be a pure devotee of the Lord, but if the woman is fortunate enough to be a wife of a pure devotee, she can serve her husband without any desire for sense gratification. If she just serves her exalted husband, she can get the perfection of the life. So that's how in the Vedic culture, the wife had to just serve the husband. And the husband used to be engaged in serving his spiritual master. And the spiritual master was always guiding the disciple based on the Shastras. So that's how there was a perfect chain of wife. All she needed to do is just render service to the husband. Sir, husband is engaged in serving the Guru. And Guru is always guiding based on the teachings of the Shastras. So that's how the proper chain was created. So we see in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam also, in the episode of Devahuti and Kardama also, this principle is very beautifully brought out by Srila Prabhupada, that when Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa bring Mother Devahuti and they get him married to Kardama Muni. Although Devahuti is coming from a very high background, she is the daughter of Swayambhu Manu. She is very beautiful, as it was explained that when all the Gandharvas from the higher planets used to see the beauty of Devahuti, they used to faint. So when she was there playing on the terrace, she was very beautiful, coming from a very aristocratic background. But Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa, they came and they get him married to Kardama Muni. And then it is explained that how, although Devahuti came from a very high aristocratic background, but she was very menially serving Kardama Muni. So in the few verses, this theme of how Devahuti is serving Kardama Rishi is explained. What are the wonderful qualities which Devahuti exhibited? And Prabhupada is focusing how a disciple should serve the spiritual master by these qualities as exhibited by Devahuti. So in the third canto, this beautiful 2-3 verses come. Pitrabhyam prastite sadvi patim ingita kovida nityam paracharat pritya bhavaniva bhavam param. So it is explained that Pitrabhyam prastite sadvi. So the first quality by which Devahuti served the Kardama Rishi was sadvi. Sadvi means with chastity. So Prabhupada writes how a disciple has to serve with chastity the spiritual master. And the second point is patim ingita kovida. So understanding the mind of the husband. Devahuti served Kardama Rishi understanding his heart or his mind. Patim ingita kovida. Nityam paracharat pritya. So the third quality that is explained is pritya. With lot of affection and love, Devahuti served Kardama Rishi. So the third point which Prabhupada writes is affection has to be there while rendering service to the Guru. So one has to be chaste, one has to serve the spiritual master, understanding his mind. And the third point is with affection. And bhavaniva bhavam prabhu. And the example of how Mother Parvati serves Lord Shiva. So that's also the same thing, that example is given in this verse. And then another two verses, more qualities which a wife should exhibit or a disciple should exhibit while serving the Guru. Vishrambena atma sauchena gauravena damena cha shushrushaya saurudena vacha madhuraya cha bhu. So in the second verse, the fourth quality, vishrambena. So the disciple has to serve the Guru with intimacy. Atma sauchena, with the purity of body and mind. So that's the fifth quality a disciple should have. Then sixth is gauravena. Gauravena, with great respect. Damena. Damena is controlling one's mind and senses. Unless a disciple controls his own mind and senses, he cannot serve the spiritual master, because always he'll be thinking of how I can serve my senses. So therefore this sixth quality of damena, sense control, is explained. Then saurudena. In the previous verse also this quality of pritya, or with affection, here it is explained as with love. And then vacha madhureya cha bhu, with sweet words a disciple should serve the spiritual master. So in this two verses, around 7-8 qualities are given by which the disciple should serve the spiritual master. And then in the third, in the last verse, it is explained how visrijya kamam dambam cha dvesham lobham agammadam apramatyodate nityam teji yamsham atoshayat visrijya kamam dambam cha. So she gave up all kinds of kamam, desires for lust. Dambam is pride. Dvesham lobham, she gave up envy and greed. Agam is sinful activities. So all these things she gave up while serving her husband. So this is how Prabhupada writes that a disciple also should try to give up all kinds of negative lower modes like lust, anger, greed, pride while rendering service to the spiritual master. So after Devahuti served Kardam Rishi by exhibiting these qualities that has been discussed in these verses, Kardam Muni becomes very much pleased. Kardam Muni sees that she has been serving for a very long time, not even caring for her own body. So Kardam Muni tells that, you have served me for a very long time, not even caring for your own body. Generally, one's body is very much pleasing to oneself, but you have given up taking care of your own body and served me. So I am very much pleased with you. So by rendering religious principles, I have gained a lot of blessings from the Supreme Lord, and I would like to share these blessings with you. So what is the blessings that I have gained? The nature of these blessings is, this can free one from all kinds of fear and lamentation. So generally in this material world, all living entities are affected by fear and lamentation. That is the, whatever one may have, one may have a lot of wealth, one may be very beautiful, one may have a lot of knowledge, but the greatest thing that keeps disturbing a living entity in this world is fear and lamentation. So therefore, unless one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot get free from this fear. So therefore, Kardam Muni tells that the greatest blessing which you can get by serving me, which I have received by my service to the Supreme Lord, is freedom from fear, freedom from lamentation. So I'll give it to you. Because any other kinds of material benedictions one may have in this world is always affected by fear. So there is no use of obtaining any kinds of material benedictions. So therefore we see that throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, any pure devotee, when the Lord personally comes and offers, what kind of benediction do you want? Do you want wealth of this world, or you want wealth of the heavenly planets, or you want freedom from birth and death, liberation? So pure devotee never is asking for any kinds of material benedictions, because a pure devotee knows that there is no greater material benediction than service to the Supreme Lord. Because only by gaining that, one can get freedom from all kinds of shoka, from all kinds of bhaya. So therefore, the pure devotee asks only those kinds of benediction. So here also we see how Devahuti, in her service to Kardam Muni, Kardam Rishi is ready to offer the greatest benediction he receives. He tells that freedom from fear and lamentation. But then Devahuti has a desire to get this child. So she is desiring the child, and we see how Kardam Muni creates a wonderful facility, the entire aerial mansion, and he fulfills her desire. Then eventually we see how the Supreme Lord appears as the son, Kapila Dev, and then eventually the entire thing goes on. But the principle that we learn from this episode is the qualities by which a disciple should serve the spiritual master. And by rendering service to the spiritual master, as Devahuti rendered service to Kardam Rishi, eventually she got the same benefit only, that freedom from fear, what Kardam Muni was initially offering, but it took some time. She got the son, and eventually Devoti lamented, but eventually she got that same blessing from her husband as she got to hear from Lord Kapila. So therefore, when a disciple renders service to the spiritual master, as we learn, that ultimately the gift of the spiritual master is he wants to give blessing of love of Godhead to his disciple. And when one gets that, all the other kinds of things automatically come. When one experiences the higher taste of getting love of Godhead, freedom from fear, hankering, lamentation, all these things come as a byproduct. It is not the main goal for which a disciple is actually rendering service. Ultimately, he wants to serve the spiritual master. Chakshudan Dilo Jai, Janme Janme Prabhu Sai. Prabhupada says that the Mayavadi's conception of serving the spiritual master is totally different. The Mayavadis, like Prabhupada, one time he was taking bath in the river Yamuna and he told his disciple that give me hand. So he took the hand and then Prabhupada just initially asked for support to get out of the water, but then when that disciple gave hand, Prabhupada just pulled that disciple towards him and then Prabhupada asked him that, what did you learn? So he said, no Prabhupada, you can give purport. So he said that the Mayavadi conception is they want to take help from the spiritual master, but then eventually they want to pull the spiritual master down, or they want to take the post of the spiritual master. But then our philosophy is not that. Our philosophy is Chakshudan Dilo Jai, Janme Janme Prabhu Sai. We want to eternally serve the spiritual master and we are eternally indebted to the spiritual master. We don't serve the spiritual master thinking that one day I want to occupy the position of the spiritual master. No, we are eternally indebted. Therefore, we learn about this famous verse from the fourth canto that four Kumaras and Prithu Maharaj speaking this verse that Yer Idrishi Bhagavato Gatiratma Vada Ekantato Nigatmibhi Pratipaditamna Tushyan Tadabra Karuna Svakritena Nityam Konam Tat Pratikaroti Vinoda Patram. That anyone who thinks that he can repay the debt which he owes to the spiritual master for having given this transcendental knowledge, for having given this connection to the Supreme Lord, he is Vinoda Patram. Vinoda Patram means he is like a joker, because anyone who thinks that the debt to the spiritual master can be repaid. So therefore, Prabhupada writes that the mood should be, we take water from the Ganges and we offer it back to the Ganges. What can we give to Mother Ganges? So in the same way, we are eternally indebted to the spiritual master for what he has given us. What maximum we can do is try to render some service and try to please the spiritual master. So that is the theme. Today is also a very auspicious day. If we see, today is Gopashtami. Today is also disappearance day of Srinivas Acharya and also Dhananjay Pandit. So as per the Vaishnava calendar, we see Dhananjay Pandit disappearance day, Gadadhar Das Goswami. This is not Gadadhar Pandit, this is different. Nityanand Prabhu's associate Gadadhar Das and Srinivas Acharya. We sing this famous bhajan, Jaya Nilo Prema Dhana Karuna Prachur Heno Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Thakur. So Srinivas Acharya. So that's how this bhajan Narottam Das Thakur is composing, beginning with remembering Srinivas Acharya. So we'll try to discuss in brief regarding this festival of Gopashtami, and also if time permits, in brief we'll try to discuss about this glorious life of Srila Srinivas Acharya. So it is explained that in Nandagaon this festival of Gopashtami is celebrated in a very grand way. It is explained that wherever all the Goswamis are, they ensure that during this festival of Gopashtami, they are present there in this Nandagaon, because this is a very special festival that is held there. So it is explained that how when in Nandagaon, Krishna and Balram, they are regularly bathed when they are very small, when they are like 1.5, 2, 3 years of age. Krishna and Balram, they are bathed in Yashoda Kund, in that Nandagaon area. And when they were small mothers, Yashoda Mai, she used to bathe there. And then Krishna and Balram were also bathed. So now Krishna and Balram, they are now growing up, 4 years, 5 years. Now they are not feeling very happy to bathe. Now they have become like, now we have become big. So now they were not feeling very happy to bathe there. So whenever Krishna and Balram were being brought there to bathe, they were immediately, they used to disappear somewhere and they used to bathe themselves and they used to come back. So this was being observed by Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda and all the other elderly family members. So they were thinking that what is the reason that for 2-3 years they were bathing along with us, but now they are not bathing. And then it clicked that, oh, now they have grown up. So therefore, they are not feeling comfortable to bathe along with us. So maybe we should create a separate pond for them. So that's how this Krishna Kund in Nandagaon was created, where Krishna and Balram, their own bathing pond was created, and then they were bathing. So that's how it is explained that first time it dawned upon Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai that now Krishna is becoming big now. So previously Krishna was small, so he was given the charge of the calves. And Mother Yashoda was ensuring that she had drawn a boundary. So we go to Nandagaon and this Nanda Bhavan, that place is there at the top. So from the top, Mother Yashoda was seeing. So as long as her eyes could go, so that was the boundary that she drew for Krishna and Balram to go and graze the calves. So she can always keep a watch on the children's where they were. But then Krishna and Balram were feeling that now we are grown up. So we are waiting for the day when we can go a little far. Some more independence can be there and we can go. And instead of the calves, if we are given the charge of the cows, then we'll be very happy. So many times Krishna and Balram were requesting the parents that when will you give us the charge of the cows? And we want to go little more. The boundary is very small because it is just outside the periphery of the Nandagaon. So please give us some more area. But they were telling that you are small. So after some time we'll see. And also the cows were feeling that when will we get association of Krishna and Balram? So when the day will come when we'll also get to go with him for all the different kinds of pastimes. So that discussion was going on. But the Gopas were telling that your parents, they feel that you cannot take responsibility of the cows. They don't trust you. Therefore, they are not giving you this responsibility of the cows. So that's how one day all the coward boys, they started pulling Krishna and Balram. And they were telling that your parents are feeling that you are very small and therefore you cannot take care of the cows. So therefore, after regularly hearing this, Krishna and Balram were feeling very sad that our parents are not giving responsibility because we cannot take responsibility of taking care of the cows. So one day the Gopas started kidding them and started making fun of them. So Krishna and Balram, they were feeling very sad. But then eventually at that same time, the parents were also discussing that our children's, they have now crossed the age of 5. So after the age of 5, from 6 years now, we can give them the charge of the cows. So first we'll consult the Brahmanas. And if the Brahmanas agree to this proposal, then we can also think of doing that. So they explained that the Brahmanas were asked and the Brahmanas said, now they have already crossed the age of 5. So this is a good time. So on this auspicious day of Ashtami, today's day, it was decided that we can hand over the charge of the cows to Krishna and Balram. And because they are also feeling, and we also feel that they are now capable enough to take up this responsibility. So today's day, it is explained how Krishna and Balram were given the responsibility of taking care of the cows. And so then Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj told that till today you were only going around in the provinces very close to the Nanda Bhavan, but now you will be going very far away to graze the cows and all. So therefore there are a lot of thorns, There are a lot of sharp stones that are there. So better you wear this slippers. Therefore, you will remain protected. But then Krishna tells that if you want to give slippers to me, then you have to give slippers to all these 9 lakh cows. So mother says that is not possible. Then Krishna tells that if otherwise I will also not accept. So the cows hear that Krishna is not ready to wear slippers because there is not sufficient slippers for all of us. They become very much joyful that Krishna has so much love for all of us that because we don't have slippers, he's also not wearing. So all the cows, they come together and they feel that we'll go to all the different forest of Vraja, and wherever there are these sharp thorns and wherever there are these sharp stones, we'll just pound on all these things and make it very soft so that there is not even a slight injury for Krishna and Balram. So all the cows, they go all around the entire Vraj Bhumi and ensure that everywhere it's very soft. So wherever they see sharp stones and all, they ensure that they become very soft. And that's how the cows reciprocate with the affection of Krishna and Balram. And then it is explained how even the cows, they see, they discuss and they tell that because the footprints of Krishna and Balram, they are very special. What is the ornament of Braj Bhumi? The ornament of Braj Bhumi is the lotus footprints of Krishna and Balram. So we'll ensure that whenever we go around, not only cows but all the different animals and all the gopas, no one should step on the footprints of Krishna and Balram. So how they could manage, it's very difficult to conceive. But it is said that all the cows and all the gopas and all the other animals, including buffaloes and all the other animals, they used to never step on the footprints that was created by Krishna and Balram, because they felt that this is the real ornament of Braj Bhumi, so we should never step on that. So that's how it is explained that how very beautifully today this beautiful festival of Gopashtami was celebrated in Vrindavan and in Nandagaon. It is explained that how in today's day, all the different kinds of people, they take their cows to each other's homes. So one person takes his cows to one house, then to the second house. And then it is explained how everyone in the house, they are ready to feed something to the cows. Whichever cows come from the different houses, they worship, they put some decorations on the cows, they worship, they feed. So that's how the whole day it is explained that one family's cows, they take to the different house and they go to the different house. So that's how the entire day, because the cows are going from here to their different places, all the dust that is raised from the hoof prints of the cows, so the go dhuli or the guru raj that is there always. And that's evening. In the evening also, generally when the cows used to come from the grazing, all this dust that is flying because of the hoof prints of the cows, all the Brajvasis consider that this is very auspicious, the go dhuli, and they collect all this dust and they preserve it. So it is considered as very auspicious. So that's how this beautiful festival of Gopashtami is celebrated. So that is one festival that we are celebrating today. And today is also the appearance day of Srila Srinivas Acharya. So regarding that, it is explained how Srila Srinivas Acharya, he is the first personality whom Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt that I will personally expand myself through Srinivas Acharya and I will begin the distribution of the books, transcendental books. Like Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, distribute my books. That was the message which many times Prabhupada gave. So it is explained that the root or the origin of book distribution in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara began from Srinivas Acharya, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally expanded himself through Srinivas Acharya to distribute this books all over the world. So therefore it is explained that how there was this village in Bengal known as Chakandi Gram, where this very pious Brahmana, Gangadhar Bhattacharya, and his good wife Lakshmi Priya, both of them, they used to live there. And then it is explained that this Gangadas Bhattacharya, he had heard about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a long time. And because of hearing, he developed this desire to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he thought that before I go to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I will go and first meet my very good friend and my senior god brother, Keshav Bharati Maharaj in Katwa. And after meeting Keshav Bharati Maharaj in Katwa, then I will go to Navdeep and meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So with this thought, this Gangadas Bhattacharya, he goes to Katwa. But when he goes to Katwa, he didn't expect. That was the day when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to take sannyas. So he didn't expect that. He thought that he will take permission and blessings of his dear god brother Keshav Bharati Maharaj. But he didn't knew that Keshav Bharati Maharaj would be sitting there, and all around people are crying, and this barber is there with the knife, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being shaved, and all this sad episode is happening from an external perspective. So Gangadas Bhattacharya becomes very much sad that he wanted to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Navadvip Chandra. He didn't want to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the shaven head, with all the saffron robes. So therefore he was feeling very much sad. So he went there, and everywhere when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas, Mahaprabhu was chanting the mantra, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. So that totally he was affected, Gangadas Bhattacharya. And it was explained that when he came back to his village, Jajigram, he was constantly chanting, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. So he was chanting this Chaitanya, Chaitanya so much that his name was changed to Chaitanya. So instead of Gangadas Bhattacharya, he was named as Chaitanya, because he was totally absorbed in chanting these names of the Lord. So after this episode, it is explained that one day, this Gangadas Bhattacharya was named as Chaitanya by everyone. So he developed this desire that I should get a son. And simultaneously his wife Lakshmi Priya, she also developed this desire that we should have a son. So both of them came, discussed. So in one side he was feeling very bad. He was feeling that what is this kind of material desire I am getting in my heart. Our life should be there to surrender to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why am I getting this desire to get a child? But then they said, okay, let's see what has to be done. So at that time, they both of them discussed, and the wife said that let's go to Jagannath Puri. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shifted his headquarters to Jagannath Puri. We'll go, we'll meet the Lord, tell him that this is our desire, what is his wish. So both of them, they go to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And immediately in the Swimma Dwaram, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, he is going to take the darshan of Lord Jagannath. So in the entrance only, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Chaitanya Das and Lakshmi Priya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells that please go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath, and whatever desire you have in your heart will be fulfilled in due course of time. So all the devotees heard that Mahaprabhu told that whatever desire you have in your heart will be fulfilled in due course of time. So all devotees were thinking, is Chaitanya Das come with some desire to Jagannath Puri? What is the desire he has? What is the desire? So all devotees were discussing, what is the desire that Chaitanya Das and Lakshmi Priya have, by which they have come to Jagannath Puri? Let's ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or he may personally tell today evening. So all devotees were discussing, and then in the evening, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and then he told all the devotees that he has the desire to beget a child, and his child will be none other than Srinivas Acharya, is the great devotee of the Supreme Lord, and is personally being empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at that time also, Lord Jagannath personally comes, gives a vision to both the husband and the wife, Chaitanya Das and Lakshmi Priya, and personally tell that your son will be Srinivas Acharya, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has this mission of spreading book distribution all across, and he will be doing it through your son. So this desire that both of you had, this is not a ordinary thing. It has been personally blessed by me because I sanctioned it. Therefore, you got the desire. So please don't lament because it is under my sanction. So that's how personally Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath blessed, and very soon this great soul, Srinivas Acharya, was born. And it is explained from childhood, his mother Lakshmi Priya taught him to chant the holy names of the Lord. And Srinivas Acharya was always absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord. So that's how his entire childhood was spent in continuously chanting the holy names of the Lord, personally doing Nam Sankirtan, and also rigorous study of the scriptures. So he became a very great scholar. And Narahari Sarkar, who was living very close to their village in Shikanda, he also used to regularly visit to meet Srinivas Acharya. And from childhood, Narahari Sarkar and Srinivas Acharya, they had a very close bonding. And from childhood, Chaitanya Das used to speak about the different pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his son Srinivas Acharya. So every day, the only thing the father used to do was narrate all kinds of different pastimes of Gaur Leela, whatever he had seen personally, whatever Chaitanya Das had heard from his spiritual preceptors. And whenever Srinivas Acharya heard all the different pastimes, the Keshav Kashmiri episode, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking initiation from Sri Padishwara Puri at Gaya, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered Jagai and Madai. So all these episodes Chaitanya Srinivas Acharya was hearing, and he was totally this deep desire of longing to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awakened in his heart. He was feeling that when will that day come when I can go and personally meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his father, Chaitanya Das, also narrated about the ecstatic glories of this beautiful Braj Bhumi. He told that when I had gone to Ramkeli and I saw this Rup Sanatan building this Gupta Vrindavan, that was a wonderful experience. And he also narrated the beautiful qualities of Rup Sanatan and the glories of Braj Bhumi and everything. And Srinivas Acharya also developed this desire that when will I get to visit this holy land of Vrindavan. So after all these loving relationships between Chaitanya Das and his son Srinivas Acharya was going on, a day came when Chaitanya Das, Gangadas Bhattacharya, was about to leave this world. So very soon he left this world. And then at that time, Srinivas Acharya felt that I should go and meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at that time he went and he asked Narahari Sarkar that I am having this desire to go and meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So should I go? So Narahari Sarkar said, yes, but you have to go very soon, because we have heard that Advaita Acharya recently told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I had called you for a mission, and now that mission has been accomplished nicely. Now is the time that you should leave this world and go back. So very soon, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may wind up his pastimes and go back. So my dear Srinivas Acharya, if you have a desire to meet, then you will have to go to Jagannath Puri very soon to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So immediately upon hearing this news from Narahari Sarkar, immediately Srinivas Acharya went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went, when he was about to enter Jagannath Puri, that time he saw that many travelers, they were coming and they were very much sad. So he asked them that why you are feeling so sad karke. So the travelers said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just left this world. And then when he heard that, he felt very bad. That, oh, I came here to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has departed from his world. So he became very much, he was feeling very sad. He was crying constantly. He was totally falling unconscious. He was not knowing what to do. But at that time, when he was feeling very sad at that time, he got this vision from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, please go and meet Gadadhar Pandit, and you can hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. So please don't worry. So immediately he finds out the place where Gadadhar Pandit is there. And eventually Srinivas Acharya reaches this famous temple of Tota Gopinath, where Gadadhar Pandit is there. And then he tells Gadadhar Pandit that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me to take your association and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And Gadadhar Pandit was also very much happy to see how Srinivas Acharya has come to meet him. And then Gadadhar Pandit tells him about Srimad Bhagavatam. And for a long time, he shares many wonderful things up from Srimad Bhagavatam to Srinivas Acharya. But after some time, Gadadhar Pandit tells that, I have told you many things, but if you want to do a deeper study of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will have to get one copy of Srimad Bhagavatam from Gordes, Bengal, because the copy which I have is totally soiled. And then he hands over this one copy which Gadadhar Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to refer so that Srinivas Acharya can see. And he, as soon as he picked up this divine copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, he saw that how, because of constantly crying while discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, as we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit used to discuss two episodes mainly from Srimad Bhagavatam, hundreds of times. That was the Dhruva Charitra and Prahlad Charitra. So that's how totally the tears had washed off and all the syllables that was there, there was totally could not be seen. So when Srinivas Acharya got this copy and he saw that practically this copy has been totally soiled because of the tears of Gadadhar Pandit and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was feeling that even to receive this rare copy of Srimad Bhagavatam in my hand is a great good fortune. So he worshipped this copy and then he felt that I should go and get another copy from Shrikhanda. So he immediately goes to meet Narahari Sarkar and immediately goes and tells that, please, Gadadhar Pandit has told me to get one copy of Srimad Bhagavatam because of this reason. And Narahari Sarkar immediately gives him another copy. And without delay, although he had walked for so many kilometers from Puri to the Shrikhanda, but still without taking any rest, he again immediately went back to meet Gadadhar Pandit. Again, when he was there, all these travelers were seen talking, discussing, crying, and immediately he came to know that Gadadhar Pandit has also departed from this world. And he feels that, my God, I had this great fortune of spending so much time with Gadadhar Pandit. Again, I thought that I could read Srimad Bhagavatam in more detail from Gadadhar Pandit, but then Gadadhar Pandit has also left. So again, he was feeling very bad and he was crying. At that time, again, all the devotees who were there, all the different associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they came and they consoled. And then he was introduced to all the different devotees who were there present at that time. Prataprudra Maharaj, Sarvam Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, and so many other devotees were there. They were also very much sad because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left this world. And then now Gadadhar Pandit had also left this world. So they were also feeling very bad. But then all devotees were telling that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told us about you and you are personally love personified, love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personified, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has this mission of spreading this book distribution through you. So please, you don't worry and you just, eventually you will have to go to Vrindavan and study under Jiva Goswami. So all the devotees give him his the message which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told. So eventually he goes and eventually he goes to different places and he takes blessings from Nityanand Prabhu's consort at Kharda, Janwa Devi, Vasudha and Veerachandra is there. He goes to Shantipur. Advaita Acharya has left, but Sita Takurani, she is there. So he takes blessings from her. And then Abhiram Thakur. So there is this place known as Kanakula Krishna Nagar where Abhiram Thakur is there. So Janwa Devi and Vasudha Devi are told that you go and take blessings of Abhiram Thakur. And Abhiram Thakur has this famous whip known as Jai Mangal. So with this whip, whomever Abhiram Thakur just beats, he gets love of God immediately. But before that, Abhiram Thakur, he tests that person. So as soon as Srinivas Acharya, he went to this village to see Abhiram Thakur. Abhiram Thakur from far away saw Srinivas Acharya. And he told one person that you take this 10 gold coins and you go and give him and tell him that you are very hungry. You take some food, take some ingredients, cook, offer to Krishna and eat it. You give this message. So immediately that person takes 10 gold coins from Abhiram Thakur, goes to Srinivas Acharya and tells that you purchase some ingredients, cook, offer it to Krishna and eat. So as soon as the cooking is done, the offering is done, Srinivas Acharya has not eaten for many days. And when he is about to eat, at that time Abhiram Thakur sends 3-4 people there and tell that you go and ask for all the ingredients that he has cooked. Let's see. So as soon as these 3-4 people sent by Abhiram Gopal, they go and ask Srinivas Acharya that can you give, we are very hungry. Immediately Srinivas Acharya gives all that he had prepared for himself. He had not eaten for many days. Immediately he gives everything to all these 4 people. And Abhiram Thakur understands that he is a pure devotee of the Lord because this quality of selflessness I can see in him. So he has passed this test. So now he is fit to receive this whip from this Jai Mangal. So immediately he goes and he starts beating Srinivas Acharya with this whip. And as soon as he receives this touch from this whip, Jai Mangal, Srinivas Acharya goes into ecstasy. Second time, third time, fourth time it happens. And then Abhiram Gopal's wife, Hemalata Takurani, she tells that, my dear husband, don't do, because he has a lot of duties and responsibilities to perform. If you keep giving him this higher nectar of love of Godhead, he will forget all the duties and responsibilities. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told that through him, he has to distribute a lot of books throughout this world. So please don't give him higher and higher levels of ecstasies through this Jai Mangal. So immediately Abhiram Thakur stops and then he tells that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a lot of duties to do through you. So very soon you will be further guided. So you please go to Vrindavan, and when you go to Vrindavan, under the guidance of Srila Jiva Goswami, you will be further guided. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami will initiate you. So eventually after taking blessings of everyone, Srinivas Acharya, he comes to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he meets Srila Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami tells him that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told that you have to take initiation from Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he tells Gopal Bhatta Goswami to initiate Srila Srinivas Acharya. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami becomes very much happy. And later on, Jiva Goswami guides Srinivas Acharya. So, and that time, the trio, Srinivas Acharya is also joined by Narottam Das Thakur, whom is sent by Lokanath Goswami. And also Dukhi Krishna Das, who later on becomes Shyamananda Pandit, who is also sent by his spiritual master, Hriday Chaitanya. So all these three, they are studying under the care of Srila Jiva Goswami. And then it is explained how Srinivas Acharya is such a exalted soul, although he is a student serving and studying under Jiva Goswami. So he explained that one day when Jiva Goswami is writing commentary of Ujjamala Neelamani, at that time Jiva Goswami is stuck somewhere. He is unable to understand. So he is asking his student, Srinivas Acharya, can you explain to me this particular verse? I am unable to understand. So Srinivas Acharya immediately prays to Srila Rupa Goswami and he tells him that please reveal to me. And immediately Rupa Goswami reveals to him the meaning of that particular verse and he immediately tells it to Srila Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami is very much amazed and is very happy to see that Srinivas Acharya is such a great soul, is such a great scholar. He has so much devotion that things are being revealed to him. So that's how it is explained that Srinivas Acharya was a very great soul. And it is explained that one time Srinivas Acharya was just sitting in Vrindavan and he was meditating on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was meditating on the Sankirtan pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya is Navdeep Chandra. And immediately Lord Chaitanya, so he is in his, he is rendering service in his Siddha Deha in the Leelas of the Supreme Lord. And Lord Chaitanya, he is offering garlands to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is offering all kinds of different sandalwood to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All those things are going on. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after the entire meditation, everything is over, he returns the garland to Srinivas Acharya. And when the meditation breaks at that time, on a physical level, Srinivas Acharya is having this personally, the garland of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So everyone is seeing that before he did not have a garland and now he's having. So immediately he takes out that garland and he's hiding that garland. So that's how it is explained that even the different pastimes of Lord Krishna, when Krishna is performing holi. So Srinivas Acharya used to render service in these different Vrajalilas of Lord Krishna in his form as Manjari. And that's how it is explained that one day when Srinivas Acharya was closing his eyes and he was meditating on Lord Krishna's holy pastimes, at that time he was totally in all the different colors because he was assisting in his Nitya Siddha Deha with all the Manjaris and everyone. And when he physically opened his eyes, he saw that he was totally in all the different colors and everyone saw him. So he was seen that he was not an ordinary person. So then we see how the famous episode of how Srinivas Acharya, when all the books were being written and all the copies of the books had to go to Bengal for distribution. So there was a very big celebration that was performed and all the Goswamis had a very great festival that all the books will be kept in the bullock carts and all the books will be sent. And Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit, all three will be going to different places and the books will be spread throughout. So there was a great festival that was held. And then personally Jiva Goswami was taking every book and all the devotees were loudly shouting Hari Bol. So this is Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Instruction. This is Rupa Goswami's Nectar of Devotion. This is Ujjwala Neelamani. This is Vidagdha Madhav. This is Lalita Madhav. This is Sanatan Goswami's Brihat Bhagavatamrit. So all Hari Bhakti Vilas. So like this, all the books were being announced and all the books were being very nicely decorated because that was the real wealth of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that the great sacred text which the Goswamis had written. So all these had to be taken and distributed. And then very beautifully how this entire book distribution episode happens, that is also described in great detail, how while taking these books, this in between also this King Viramvir, who is the king of the dacoits, he has this astrologer. And the astrologer says that in my kingdom, in our kingdom, there is this great jewels that is going to come tonight. So we have to ensure that we need to steal all these jewels tonight. And the king becomes very much happy that there is this box of jewels that is going to come in our city. So I'll arrange everything. And all the in the night when all the three, Srinivas Acharya, Shyamananda, Pandit and Narottam Das Thakur, when they are taking rest, the king sends the dacoits and the entire box of all the books are stolen. And it is explained that as soon as the king takes darshan of these books, his heart becomes totally transformed. So that is the power of the books that has been given. Like someone asked Srila Prabhupada, so like a Krishna book, if you read one chapter, you will get love of Godhead. And then Prabhupada said, not even one chapter, one line, you will get love of Godhead. Not even one line, even if you read one word, you will get love of Godhead. Here we see that King Viramvir, he was a dacoit, he just took darshan of the books. And it had such powerful potency that the king started lamenting and repenting for all the wrong things that he had done all through his life. And he immediately called the dacoits who had gone to steal the books. And the king started asking that while stealing the books, did you kill anyone? They said, no, they all were sleeping. Are you sure that you are speaking the truth? Yeah, we did not kill anyone. Did you hurt anyone? No, we did not hurt anyone. Okay. So he started feeling, he was lamenting. So all the wonderful qualities started appearing in this king Viramvir just by taking darshan of the books. So he is thinking now, I am very eager to meet the owner of the books. And in the morning when Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, they opened the eyes and they saw that the books are not there. So they were thinking where to find the books. And Srinivas Acharya sends Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda. They said that you go forward and I'll see myself. And then suddenly a voice comes that go to the palace of this king Viramvir. At that place the books are there. So immediately when the Srinivasacharya comes to the palace of King Viramvir, and Viramvir at that time he is hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhagavad recitation is going on and King Viramvir is hearing. At that time Srinivasacharya comes to the palace, and then King Viramvir understands that he is my savior. He is the owner of the books. Just by looking at him I can understand. And immediately he tells that I have a question. Srinivasacharya tells that whatever question you have, that after this Bhagavatam recitation is going on, anything based on Bhagavatam you have, questions I will answer. So after the entire recitation goes on, then the king asks that, please tell me, I want to know about the Brahmara Gita from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Srinivasacharya explains to him all that, what he had to tell from the Brahmara Gita in line with thing. And then finally King Viramvir tells that, please initiate me, I want to become your disciple. So Srinivasacharya tells that you chant the holy names of the Lord, and that very soon, whenever I feel that you are ready, at that time I'll initiate. So that time he gives him the holy names of the Lord. He tells that you be repentant for all the wrong activities that you have done throughout your life. In the repentant mood, continuously chant the holy names of the Lord. So continuously King Viramvir repents all through, and then he continuously chants the holy names of the Lord. And then Srinivasacharya goes back, and then later on, even Jiva Goswami is telling that further more books are there. I have written Gopal Champu and more books are there. So you please come to Vrindavan and you collect all these other books. So eventually he goes back to Vrindavan, again meets Srila Jiva Goswami, and again while coming back, he initiates King Viramvir. And that time then further he goes, and many more details are there that how he initiates and how his further disciples, Ramchandra Kaviraj and all the other disciples, how they also continue. But then it is explained that through the life of Srinivas Acharya, Maharaj explains how this important instruction of the importance of our books. So Maharaj explains that the books were so powerful that how just by taking darshan of the books, the hearts were transformed. So we are having this opportunity of daily reading Bhaktivedanta purports. What kind of power these books have? So if we sincerely accept the Bhaktivedanta purports that Srila Prabhupada has given us, he has put in so much of effort to give us this Bhaktivedanta purports, it can create a revolution, because that is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishloka abadyavadapi namani anantasya shuankitani yat shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. So these books are meant to create a revolution, to give a direction to the world where the entire world is totally misdirected. So that is the power of these books. So anyone who takes shelter of these books, they personally can deliver themselves, and they can help others to get delivered from this thing. So therefore Maharaj explains how Srinivas Acharya is the person who has given us these books, and we should value this great jewel or this great treasure that the parampara has given us through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And when we read and distribute these books, that is the great blessing. That's how we can repay our debt to Srinivas Acharya. So on this auspicious day, we can pray to Srinivas Acharya that we can value the great treasure of these Bhaktivedanta purports that has been given to us, read them very sincerely, and then try to distribute these books to more and more people. So that's how this beautiful episode of Srinivas Acharya we discussed. So already we have gone beyond time, so we'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Srinivas Acharya ki jai, Srila Gopashtami Mahamahotsav ki jai, Nithaye Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.